Would you turn in your Bibles, please, to Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21. We're going to talk today about the power of speaking blessings. The power of speaking blessings. This is a subject that I have never spoken on before. Only recently began to study and look at. And today I would like to lay some groundwork for you and next Sunday make it very practical on how you can implement this in your life. The power of speaking blessings. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21. The scripture says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." Death and life both are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. And Lord, we pray that you would just help me today as I deliver this truth about blessings and speaking blessings. Lord, open up our hearts to understand this subject today, and then give us creativity that we might be able to apply it in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Every time Alicia thought about her grandfather, a violent and painful scene came back to her mind. When she was 10 years old, she was trying to comfort her mother, who had been severely burned. Her grandfather came into the room and gave Alicia a glare that was filled with hate and disgust. He walked over to her, jerked her up from the bed, and literally threw her across the room onto a couch. Still in shock from this violent assault, Alicia felt the sting of his bitter words. "You'll never be good for anything but a..." Words that a 10-year-old could not comprehend, but words that she perceived as being evil. What would cause a grandfather to spew out such deadly venom toward a 10-year-old granddaughter? To him, she represented the shame that her mother had brought upon him and his family by giving birth to a child out of wedlock. The father of the child was from another ethnic group, which was quite obvious from the physical features of the granddaughter. So throughout her childhood and her teenage years, Alicia continued to bear the curses of shame from her mother's immorality. Each time she was taunted or ridiculed, the painful words of her grandfather returned to torment her. She was emotionally wounded. She was tortured with fears of future rejection and anxieties about the future. When she was married, she continued to be angry and frustrated with her own husband and children. Then one day she learned how to resolve the pain and the rejection of the past. It was so simple. She marveled that she had not learned about this sooner. Her husband was also amazed at how effective it was. He told her that the tone of her voice had actually changed and that she was no longer harsh with the children. Alicia had discovered a powerful Bible truth that is taught in 4 New Testament books and illustrated throughout the Bible. And that's what this message is all about this morning. Proverbs chapter 18 and 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Death is initiated by cursing, and life is initiated by blessing. Death is initiated by cursing, and life is initiated by blessing. What is a curse? What is a curse? When harsh and unloving words are spoken to a person, they have within them the power to take away energy and bring about destruction. If you've ever watched somebody and you've noticed that when somebody spoke some negative words to them, how just their whole countenance sometimes changes and the expression on their face just falls. And you see the defeat and the wound of their spirit. The destructive power of these words is described in James chapter 3, verses 6 through 8. It says, "And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison." The danger and the destructiveness of words is affirmed by Paul when he said, all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, but if thou bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Galatians chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. I would just briefly here give you some symptoms of living under a curse. But before we do that, I would like you to realize that an undeserved curse has no more effect on a person than a bird flying through the air. That's what Proverbs says. Proverbs 26:2, as the bird by wandering, as the swallow, or the bird by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come. If there is no cause for that curse, it will not come. Also, the death of Christ removed the curse of the law so that as believers we stand righteous before a holy God. However, the Bible does tell us that if there are certain things that we do or neglect to do, a curse may come upon us. Therefore, in Scripture instructs us to be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. What are a few of these symptoms? Now, let me say this also, that if some of these things are happening or have happened in your life, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're under a curse. Okay? But these are some of the effects of curses: mental or emotional grief or breakdown. I'll give you the scripture verses. You can look them up. This is not the major part of the message this morning, so I'll just give it to you. Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 20. Unusual diseases that are undiagnosable. Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 21. Repeated miscarriages or female problems. Deuteronomy 28, 18. Family separation. Deuteronomy 28, 41. Unexplainable financial insufficiency, Deuteronomy 28, verses 17 and 29. And unnatural deaths, Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 22. These are curses God said would come upon certain people, and they have experienced these curses. Now, what are some of the causes of curses? What has brought curses upon people? Well, one is creating and worshiping false gods or the occult. Deuteronomy chapter 20, verses 3 through 6. Dishonoring parents. Deuteronomy 27, 16. Cursed be he that setteth light or makes fun of his father or his mother. Illicit or unnatural sex. Deuteronomy chapter 27, verses 20 through 23. Injustice to the weak. Deuteronomy 27, 19, in Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 13. Trusting in the arm of the flesh, Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 and 6. Stealing and lying, Zechariah chapter 5, verses 3 through 4. Withholding tithes and offerings from God, Malachi chapter 1, verse 14, and Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 11. God says, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, because they had not brought the tithes and the offerings into the storehouses. Now, this is amazing to me, but there are actually people that give curses, that curse other people. In fact, in the Bible, even some of those in authority cursed those under their authority. Laban cursed his own daughter, put a curse on Rachel. Saul put a curse on his own son, Jonathan, not knowing that it was his son, but he cursed him nonetheless. And people put curses on themselves. Rebekah put a curse on herself. The nation of Israel, those that stood there by and giving approval to crucify Jesus, cursed themselves. They said, let his blood be upon us and our children. Amazing that people would do such a thing. How many times do we hear people cursing? I know one pastor, he says, every time I get on an airplane, I pray, because you don't know who has cursed the airplane, damned the airplane before it ever took off. People curse all the time. Curse. And I'm not just talking about swearing and cussing. I'm talking about damning something, cursing it, speaking negative things to happen to it. Bitter words spoken to others can be like curses. They can take the wind right out of somebody's sails. Covenants that were forbidden in Scripture. People entered into unforbidden covenants and found that they were cursed. Death is initiated by cursing. But life is initiated by blessing. What is a blessing? The Hebrew word for blessing is berek. It means to bend the knee, to kneel down, and to praise. The Greek word for blessing is eulogio, and it means to speak well of. So to speak a blessing to someone is to put into words what God wants to accomplish in and through that person's life. It's using God's thoughts to picture achievement for somebody and to activate the power of God to achieve those goals. And those who have become skilled in blessings have their minds trained to think the thoughts of God. And I'm not there yet. This is what I'm working at. I have now started a new thing in our home. I write down every morning a blessing in the children's notebook or journal. Not every morning. That's when they remember to get their notebooks out. And they don't forget 2 days in a row because they don't like to be missed. So I design a blessing based upon the Word of God, and I write it in their notebook. And then we have a time of family devotions, and I have the children kneel. And I'll tell you, this first it felt very strange doing this. I don't know how it felt to them, but it felt strange to me to do this. I had the children kneel, and I had them open their notebooks for the blessing that I wrote in their notebook that day. And I come behind them, and as they're kneeling, I lay my hands on their head, and I pronounce the blessing over them. And there are many ways that you can do this. I would like to be creative enough so that when I see a need or when I meet the children or somebody during the day, to be able to think the thoughts of God for them and to pronounce and give them a blessing. Just to be able to do that, to be able to bless them. And I would challenge you to be creative before God and say, God, how could I bless those in my family? How can I bless the people that I come in contact with? I'm going to be sharing some very specific ways next week on how we can do that. But to become skilled in blessing. And a blessing begins with a spoken word. However, it can also be expressed in other ways. It can be expressed monetarily or by material enrichment. We were blessed with a car. Somebody gave us a car. Those are ways that we can bless. When Jacob was reconciled to his brother Esau, he had the task, first of all, of overcoming Esau's curse. That was done with words of blessing, but then also gifts of restitution. And in fact, we need to overcome curses with blessings. God's way to overcome the destructive power of a curse is for us to return a blessing. And that's hard to do. But if somebody curses us, an enemy of ours, God's way to overcome that curse is to return a blessing. And that is effective because God is more powerful than Satan and good is more powerful than evil. And if we curse the one who curses us, we only reinforce that evil. But if we bless those who curse us, we conquer the evil. Therefore, Jesus taught us to bless those that curse us. And Paul wrote that we should bless and curse not. And Peter wrote that we should not render evil for evil, but rather give a blessing. Now, what is the power behind spoken words? First of all, the power of our own words. The first power is the power of our own words. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. With our very words, we can produce devastating damage in the lives of others. How many people have been damaged because of something somebody said to them? And it's affected them the rest of their lives. We can damage people with the things that we say, but we can also transmit life-giving energy to them. We can picture achievement for them. There's the power of our own words. They're powerful enough. But then there's the power, number two, of God's word. For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. When our words are combined with the power of God's word in a verbal blessing, a life-giving energy is imparted to those who receive the blessing. Now, it's not the person who speaks, but it's rather God who gives the blessing. God blesses the person. Numbers chapter 6 and verse 27, "And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them." And number three, the power of the Lord's name. When the priests of Israel were commanded to bless the people, God made it very clear how the blessing was to come about. They shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. The word put could also be translated invoke or impart. To invoke or to impart the name of God is to release divine favor and impart God's power to carry out the blessing. A blessing gives life, and life is in the name of the Lord. Number two, spoken blessings build faith. Number one was the power behind spoken blessings. Number two, spoken blessings build faith. Now, this is important here. I want you to understand these next few principles. Spoken blessings are not, I repeat, are not dependent on the character or the condition of the one receiving them, or even the one who gives the blessing. These blessings are not the basis of what people are, but they are given on the basis of what we believe God wants them or intends for them to be. You don't bless the person because the person has arrived. You bless them because this is where you believe God wants to take them. This is where God wants them to be. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. The blessing of Jacob confirms that one receiving a blessing does not have to be worthy of it. Okay, so many people say, well, I'm not worthy of that blessing. You don't have to be worthy to receive the blessing. You don't have to be worthy of it. Jacob, his name means deceiver, supplanter, and that's exactly what he was. He stole the blessing of his brother Esau. I mean, he used deceit and trickery in every trick in the book. He pretended to be Esau. And you know the story, how he came and got there before his father. His father's blind. And he says, are you my son, Esau? And Jacob outright lies and said, yes, I am thy son. I am Esau. I am Esau, thy firstborn, he said. And again, his mother, directed the scheme by wrapping skins of goats, kids of goats, upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck, and gave him Esau's coat, which smelled like the field. So with Isaac's blindness, he had no way to discover the scheme, and he blessed Jacob with Esau's blessing. When Isaac learned that he had been deceived, he trembled, but he could not withdraw the blessing. He said, I have blessed him, and he shall be blessed. It didn't depend upon Jacob's character. It just depended upon the words of the spoken blessing that was given to him. The story of Eli confirms that the one giving the blessing does not even have to be a godly leader. Eli was a corrupt high priest, and he had violated God's law himself, but he also allowed his sons to violate God's law. He allowed his sons to eat the part of the sacrifice that was supposed to be set apart for God. He allowed his sons to be immoral with the women who came to the tabernacle. God's judgment was upon him and his sons. And one day, a lady by the name of Hannah came to the temple. She was agonized in her soul. She wanted to have a child. She wanted to have a son. And she came and she was out there at the altar. And her lips were moving, but her words were not intelligible words. And Eli thought she was drunk. And he reproved her for her drunkenness. And she said, I'm not drunk. I'm just in such anguish of spirit. And she told Eli what was going on and how she wanted to have a son. And Eli then blessed her and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And God fulfilled Eli's blessing and gave her not just one son Samuel, but gave her five more children, after Samuel's birth. King Saul is a further example of the fact that the one giving the blessing does not need to be all that spiritual. King Saul was envious of David and hated him. Time and time again, he would try to kill David. And Saul had this this evil spirit that kept tormenting him, and how he would ask for David to come and play on the harp, and he would take that javelin and he would hurl it at David, and David would escape. However, after David showed kindness to King Saul and spared his life, Saul blessed him. And Saul said, "Blessed be thou, my son David. Thou shalt do great things and shalt still prevail." Saul's blessing came to pass in the life of David. A blessing described what God wants to accomplish in a person's life rather than what they have already achieved. Please understand that. A blessing describes what God wants to accomplish, not what they have already achieved. Jesus said to his disciples early on, "You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth." Were those disciples the light of the world? Were they the salt of the earth at the time Jesus spoke those words? No, they were far from it. They were a bunch of roughneck disciples. They had a long way to go. A long way to go before they could ever be salt and light. But Jesus was picturing achievement for them. And they did become the salt of the earth, and they did become the light of the world. One of my favorite stories in all the Bible is Gideon. God found Gideon one day. God was going to use Gideon to deliver his people from the Midianites. And God sent an angel to find Gideon one day. And you know where Gideon was? Gideon was hiding. That's right, Gideon was hiding. And the angel came and marked these words: "Thou mighty man of valor." Thou mighty man of valor. Gideon wasn't hiding. He was scared to death. He was afraid for his life, and his men that he was going to be going with him were worshiping at the altar of a false god. But the angel said, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." Certainly not the Gideon's condition when the words were spoken, but they became words that were revealed in his life later on. Scripture states that by faith Isaac blessed Jacob, and by faith Jacob blessed the sons of Joseph. Therefore, faith requires spiritual discernment based on the Word of God. One who is to bless another should ask God for spiritual understanding of what that person needs, and then look for the scripture that describes what God wants to do. And so the one doing the blessing is simply a channel of the power of God that is working through the words of the one who is giving the blessing. I dare say that most of us never realize the impact that a word of faith has on the heart and the life of one who receives it. You just don't know the impact your words have on other people. A word of faith is based on a biblical goal that God would have for every believer, but has a special significance to those who are giving a blessing for it. Years ago, Dwight L. Moody spoke to tens of thousands in England. During the meetings, Mr. Moody and his assistant, Ira Sankey, visited a nearby gypsy camp. There they preached to the gypsies. Just before they left, a little gypsy boy ran up to them and wanted to shake their hands. Ira Sankey's heart was drawn to that little gypsy boy. He put his hand on him and said, "Young man, someday you are going to be a great preacher for God." That spoken blessing impacted that little boy, and years later he became the world-renowned preacher, Gypsy Smith. A blessing. Words of positive affirmation. Words that picture achievement for somebody can go a long way. There is life in the power of words. The blessing, though, has to be recognized by the one receiving it as something that is valuable and beneficial to his life. It must not be perceived as a mini sermon or a subtle correction, but as a genuine expression of one's desire to have God enrich and benefit the recipient's life with all that he has for him. That really was the essence of the priestly blessings. It's short, to the point, and general enough to be applied to every situation. We have an example of an exchange of blessings in the story of Boaz and his reapers. Boaz said unto the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered him, "The Lord bless thee." A blessing can also be directed to a particular need that a person has, such as sickness or financial pressure or family conflicts. In these cases, a blessing could consist of words like these. Here's just an example. "The Lord bless you with health and strength." Or, "The Lord bless you with wisdom and direction for every decision." Or, "The Lord bless you with peace and joy in your family." Peter emphasizes the importance of speaking blessings. He also wrote that we are to, above all things, have fervent charity and use the gifts that God has given to us to edify one another. Then he wrote, "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God." The word oracle is an interesting word. It's logion in the Greek, and it indicates a declaration, especially an utterance of God. So you are to speak the oracles or the utterances of God over others. Stephen referred to the lively oracles that God gave to the church in the wilderness on Mount Sinai. Paul spoke of the oracles of God that had been committed to the nation of Israel, and also used this very same word to describe the first principles of teaching that new believers are to receive. Well, I don't know what's happened here, but one of the first things that new believers are to learn is how to give blessing to other people. And here we are in the church years and years later. I don't see us giving too many blessings. I don't think we understand what blessings are about. I think maybe it has to do with the Catholic Church, because they have blessed. And we've become so far removed from that we're afraid to give any kind of blessing. I'm going to call us back to where we are supposed to be. And I believe that we are to bless one another. It's found over and over again. Jesus taught us that we should bless. Paul taught us that we should bless. Peter taught us that we should bless one another. These are the founders of the Christian church. Every one of them says that we are to bless one another. Elena was sleeping in her bed one night when a dreaded bark scorpion climbed up onto her leg and stung her. She screamed with pain from its potent poison, waking the rest of the family. Her mother understood exactly how she felt, because she too had been stung by this type of scorpion, which thrives especially in the bottom of the Grand Canyon, but in other places of Arizona as well. Alina and her family were living there, ministering to the Native American Indians. Based on the mother's experience, Alina could expect excruciating pain and numbness, then swelling, physical weakness, dizziness, tightening of her throat, and tingling in her limbs for weeks to come. However, Alina suffered none of these effects, because her parents applied a simple remedy to the scorpion sting. The pain stopped immediately, and only a slight sensitivity remained in the spot where the venom had entered. Both Alicia, remember she's the girl at the beginning of the message, and Alina had been inflicted with venom of different types. Alicia experienced the venom of the tongue, which Scripture describes as being full of deadly poison. Alina felt the pain of the bark scorpion, which is the most poisonous scorpion in Arizona. Alina's parents applied a high-voltage, low-current electrical charge to the spot where the poison had entered. This hand-crank device had been designed by the JARS missionary organization and had been used with many positive results with different types of poisonous bites. Although doctors are not totally sure how it works, the positive charge of the current somehow neutralizes the negatively charged venom. But you know, that's exactly what takes place when we bless and curse not. Somehow the positive charge of the blessing neutralizes the negativity of the curse. When we give a verbal blessing to somebody who has inflicted us with a venomous curse, we are reversing that curse, or at the very least, we are neutralizing it in our lives. Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning? One Bible writer said that he would put a watch before the door of his lips. Well, it's important to do that when we realize that death and life are in the power of the tongue. And death is initiated by cursing and life is initiated by blessing. I would just like you to pause today and think, what mainly comes out of your mouth? The writer of James tells us that blessing and cursing come out of the same mouth. And he says, I really can't understand. How can this be? How can both blessing and cursing flow from the same source? And I would just encourage you today just to say to the Lord right now, Lord, would you help me? Would you give me the grace to speak blessing? And then if you're here today and you have authority over people, would you say, Lord, would you help me to be creative? Give me creative ways to bless and to picture achievement for them. A couple of times now, instead of administering discipline, I've went to the child and given them a blessing. Picturing good behavior for them. And then maybe you're here today and there's somebody that has cursed you. And right now you would need to pray for grace to be able to bless them in return. Oh, it's as much for you as it is for them. You don't want to be filled with that poison. But the positive result of the blessing will neutralize their cursing. And then I would like you to make one commitment today. And that is, you will find just one person. You can do more if you want, but you will find even one person that you will bless. Use the word bless. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord bless you with good health. May the Lord bless you with strength. You'll design one blessing for somebody today, and you'll bless them. It'll seem awkward. I admit that. It'll seem awkward. But the more you do it, the less awkward it will feel. So if you are committing to that today as your witness, I would like you to raise your hand so I could be a witness. If you're committed to blessing somebody today, amen. Amen. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Lord, we thank you for those that are making this commitment, for the raise of hands today. Lord, I pray that you would help them, give them creativity, give them discernment to bless somebody with a blessing that they need. Not simply just to be generic in general, but to bless specifically today. Give them the insight and the words that they need, that it would lift somebody up, would energize them. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Out in the highways and byways of life, many are weary and sad. Carry the sunshine where darkness is rife, making the sorrowing glad. Make me a blessing. Make me a blessing. Out of my life. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day, and thank you, Lord, that you have already been a blessing to us. Lord, you have blessed us in so many ways. And now I pray, Lord, that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ would be with all that have come here today. Lord, that you would bless them and keep them. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.